What seas, what shores, what gray rocks, and what islands? What water lapping at the bow, and scent of pine and the wood thrush singing through the fog? What images return, O my daughter? Those who sharpen the tooth of the dog, meaning death. Those who glitter with the glory of the hummingbird, meaning death. Those who sit in the sty of contentment, meaning death. Those who suffer the ecstasy of the animals, meaning death, are become unsubstantial, reduced by a wind, a breath of pine, and the woodsong fog, by this grace dissolved in place. What is this face, less clear and clearer, the pulse in the arm less strong and stronger, given or lent, more distant than stars and nearer than the eye, whispers and small laughter between leaves and hurrying feet, under sleep where all the waters meet. Bowsprit cracked with ice and paint cracked with heat, I made this, I have forgotten, and remember. The rigging weak and the canvas rotten between one June and another September made this unknowing, half-conscious, unknown, my own. The garboard strake leaks, the seams need caulking, this form, this face, this life, living to live in a world of time beyond me. Let me resign my life for this life, my speech for that unspoken, the awakened, lips parted, the hope, the new ships. What seas, what shores, what granite islands towards my timbers, and wood thrush calling through the fog, my daughter. You are listening to CICK 93.9 Smithers Community Radio, broadcasting from the unceded Gidimden Clan territories of the Wet'suwet'en Nation, Kassiak House. And my name is Gavin Smith. You are listening to The Underword, a show that explores the connection between poetry and popular music. And this is our third and final episode on T.S. Eliot. The previous two focused on mostly the first one, songs by inspired by the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock. And the second segment focused on songs connected in some way to T.S. Eliot's poem, The Wasteland. The one that you just heard to open up this episode was Marina by T.S. Eliot. And for this episode, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to focus exclusively on the connections between T.S. Eliot and a single artist, and that artist is P.J. Harvey. Now, P.J. Harvey is somewhat of a living legend in contemporary music in England. She's released 12 studio albums over more than 30 years, starting with the 1992 release Dry. She is the only artist to win the Mercury Prize twice, and that was for Stories from the City, Stories from the Sea in 2000 and Let England Shake in 2011. P.J. Harvey has repeatedly cited T.S. Eliot as a significant influence, and his poetry surfaces in a number of ways in her songs and across multiple albums. So we're going to be exploring some of the connections between T.S. Eliot and P.J. Harvey today. We'll start with On Battleship Hill, which is a song from Let England Shake. I'm just going to play that to start.
Thank you.
That was On Battleship Hill from PJ Harvey's Let England Shake. That song has a bit of a connection to The Wasteland, which we read on the last episode. So I'm not going to read The Wasteland again, but I will read a little bit from Dorian Lynskey, who's a columnist for The Guardian, who explored some of the connections between T.S. Eliot's work and PJ Harvey, and specifically Let England Shake and the song that you just heard on Battleship Hill. Dorian Lynskey writes, T.S. Eliot's influence extends across the whole of P.J. Harvey's Let England Shake, which pieces together voices and images from multiple decades and countries and collapses all that history into a single ongoing commentary on war and nationalism. You often can't tell which lines Harvey wrote herself and which she took from existing sources. Among other things, The Wasteland's collage technique is a license to borrow without shame. One blogger has pointed out the similarity between On Battleship Hill, the lyrics, jagged mountains jutting out, cracked like teeth in a rotting mouth, and The Wasteland, with the line, dead mountain mouth of carious teeth that cannot spit. The critic Donald Childs believes Eliot was actually referring to Gallipoli, the home of Battleship Hill, where his close friend Jean Vernadal had been killed in action. During the campaign, Australian soldiers sang the risque song about Miss Porter that is quoted in the fire sermon, which is in The Wasteland. Did Harvey know all of this, or is it just a case of The Wasteland's world of echoes setting off accidental echoes of its own? That was from Dorian Lynskey in The Guardian. We're going to turn now to one of my personal favorite P.J. Harvey songs, and that is The Ministry of Defense, from the album The Hope Six Demolition Project. But before we get there, I'm going to read T.S. Eliot's poem The Hollow Men. And that's because the Ministry of Defense, this P.J. Harvey song, borrows from The Hollow Men. The Hollow Men is one of T.S. Eliot's most enduring and famous poems and a personal favorite of mine. And it sounds like this. We are the hollow men. We are the stuffed men. Leaning together, headpiece filled with straw. Alas, our dried voices when we whisper together are quiet and meaningless as wind in a dry grass. Our rat's feet over broken glass in our dry cellar. Shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. Those who have crossed with direct eyes to death's other kingdom remember us, if at all, not as lost, violent souls, but only as the hollow men, the stuffed men. Eyes I dare not meet in dreams, in death's dream kingdom, these do not appear. There, the eyes are sunlight on a broken column. There is a tree swinging, and voices in the wind singing, more distant and more solemn than a fading star. Let me be no nearer in death's dream kingdom. Let me also wear such deliberate disguises, rat's coat, crow skin, crossed staves, in a field behaving as the wind behaves, no nearer. Not that final meeting in the twilight kingdom. This is the dead land. This is the cactus land. Here the stone images are raised. Here they receive the supplication of a dead man's hand under the twinkle of a fading star. Is it like this in death's other kingdom? Waking alone, at the hour when we are trembling with tenderness, lips that would kiss form prayers to broken stone. The eyes are not here. There are no eyes here. In this valley of dying stars, in this hollow valley, this broken jaw of our lost kingdoms, in this last of meeting places, we grope together and avoid speech, gathered on this beach of the tumid river. Sightless unless the eyes reappear as the perpetual star, multifoliate rose of death's twilight kingdom, the hope only of empty men. Here we go round the prickly pear, prickly pear, prickly pear. Here we go round the prickly pear at 5 o'clock in the morning. Between the idea and the reality, between the motion and the act, falls the shadow, for thine is the kingdom. Between the conception and the creation, between the emotion and the response falls the shadow. Life is very long. Between the desire and the spasm, between the potency and the existence, between the essence and the descent falls the shadow. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is life is, for thine is the... This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but a whimper. That was The Hollow Men from T.S. Eliot. And we're going to turn now to The Ministry of Defense from P.J. Harvey, which draws a line from The Hollow Men. See if you can spot it.
This is the ministry of defense. Stairs and walls are all that's left. Mortar holes let through the air. Kids do the same thing. Everywhere
they spray graffiti in Arabic and Palestinians in human
That was The Ministry of Defense by P.J. Harvey. And the line from The Hollow Men, if you caught it there, was, "This is how the world ends." We're going to turn now to a P.J. Harvey song with a title that is explicitly drawn from the T.S. Eliot poem East Coker, and that is the song When Under Ether. That is a line from East Coker. PJ Harvey has referenced the influence of Elliot on this song. We're going to get to the poem East Coker in a little bit, but I think I'd like to start by playing the song When Under Ether by PJ Harvey from the album White Chalk. When Under Ether by PJ Harvey. The title of that song is a line drawn from the poem East Coker by T.S. Eliot. We won't read the whole poem as it's fairly long, but I will read the third movement. Oh, dark, 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 they all go into the dark. The vacant interstellar spaces, the vacant into the vacant, the captains, merchant bankers, eminent men of letters, the generous patrons of art, the statesmen and their rulers, distinguished civil servants, chairmen of many committees, industrial lords and petty contractors, all go into the dark. And dark the sun and moon, and the Almanac de Gotha, and the Stock Exchange Gazette, the directory of directors, and cold the sense and lost the motive of action. And we all go with them into the silent funeral, nobody's funeral, for there is no one to bury. I said to my soul, be still, and let the dark come upon you, which shall be the darkness of God, as in a theater the lights are extinguished, for the scene to be changed with a hollow rumble of wings, with a movement of darkness on darkness, and we know that the hills and the trees, the distant panorama, and the bold imposing facade are all being rolled away, or as, when an underground train in the tube stops too long between stations, and the conversation rises and slowly fades into silence, and you see behind every face the mental emptiness deepen, leaving only the growing terror of nothing to think about, or when, under ether, the mind is conscious but conscious of nothing. I said to my soul, be still and wait without hope, for hope would be hope for the wrong thing. Wait without love, for love would be the love of the wrong thing. There is yet faith, but the faith and the love and the hope are all in the waiting. Wait without thought, for you are not ready for thought. So the darkness shall be the light, and the stillness the dancing. whisper of running streams and winter lightning, the wild thyme unseen and the wild strawberry, the laughter in the garden, echoed ecstasy, not lost, but requiring, pointing to the agony of death and birth. You say I am repeating something I have said before. I shall say it again. Shall I say it again? In order to arrive there, to arrive where you are, to get from where you are not, you must go by a way wherein there is no ecstasy. In order to arrive at what you do not know, you must go by a way which is the way of ignorance. In order to possess what you do not possess, you must go by the way of dispossession. In order to arrive at what you are not, you must go through the way in which you are not. And what you do not know is the only thing you know, and what you own is what you do not own, and where you are is where you are not. That was the third movement from East Coker by T.S. Eliot. We'll finish with a track from P.J. Harvey's most recent album, I Inside the Old Year Dying. This was recently released. The whole album is adapted from Orlam, which is a book of poetry that Harvey wrote during a 7-year break between albums. And I'm going to read a little excerpt from an NPR interview with P.J. Harvey when she had this to say about the album. That was a journey I went on with the whole of the dialect within the book, referring to Orlam, the book of poetry. Initially, I was just aiming to write my second collection of poetry. I was working with Don Patterson, who was my mentor, on a 3-year poetry course, and it was on my coursework that the first few poems of Orlam were written, and Don and I quickly saw that something was beginning to take shape. I've always been someone that draws and creates music, and as I've got older, it's become more and more natural for me that they all just sort of bleed together. If I'm a bit stuck on a poem and I can't work out where it's going, I'll often spend time drawing it as a way to help me understand more of what I'm trying to say. Likewise, I might also play it through the piano, sort of play the feeling. And therefore, this work kind of morphed into drawings and then into music as well. That was P.J. Harvey in her own words, talking about I Inside the Old Year Dying and how it was drawn from and adapted from her book of poetry, Orlam. She referenced Don Patterson as her mentor in working on Orlam, which inspired or was adapted into I Inside the Old Year Dying. And Don Patterson is an accomplished poet in his own right, who twice won the T.S. Eliot Prize, which is awarded annually to the best collection of new verse in English, first published in the United Kingdom. And that prize money originally came from T.S. Eliot's widow, Valerie Eliot, and more recently, it comes from the T.S. Eliot estate. I'm going to play the song I Inside the Old Eye Dying, which is off the album I Inside the Old Year Dying, and it's one of my favorite from that album.
Oh, I'm a hungry eye for it.
Thanks for listening to The Underword this week. I'm Gavin Smith, and we'll sign off with a few lines from T.S. Eliot himself from the poem Little Gidding. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time.